welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name's Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
God's word from 1 Peter. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even prophets wanted to know about when they prophesied about his gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterwards. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Sing it with us. And we will make room. Sing it. For you
to do whatever you want to do whatever you want.
Yes, Father. Sing aloud.
And I will make room.
Yes, we will, Lord,
to do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to.
Father, we are so thankful that we can be in your house this morning on this new year. God, give us a new, fresh perspective, a new spirit, a new walk with you, Lord God. Help us, breathe into us today. In Jesus' name, we pray and we say together, amen. You can be seated and children are dismissed. So today we are starting at the beginning of the new year a series where we're really just going to study 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter. The scripture that I just read to you is found in page 850, if you want to grab the Bible in front of you and read with me. But we've already read it. We're not going to have to go back through it again, except little segments. But this is a great book that can give us power as we lean in to a new year. Looking at the book of 1 Peter, I want to give us some context before we dive in and start studying it. But what's going to happen throughout this month is week after week, we're going to challenge the church to be readers of the word. I believe we're living in a time where we have a lot of people who claim to be Christ's followers, but never pick up the book in which we are to learn what to follow. And if we can get better at reading into this word, we can become better followers of Jesus. For that's what we're called to be. Amen. First Peter is a great book. And what we are going to look at is how it can help us in trials in our life. How many of you guys have went through trials in the past year? You've dealt with things, amen? All of us in the room have had some things that we've had to deal with. And so this message today in this series is going to be for two different types of people. Two different types of people. Number one, people in the room and online who are currently going through trials. You got hard things going on in your life. Things at school, things at work, things in your marriage, things with your kids, things in your mind, emotionally. You just got things going on that's tough. Okay? And the other person that this is for is those who may go through a trial this year. So really, it's for all of us. Those of you who are currently going through something and those who are going to go through something. Because let me just tell you guys, we all are going to go through something unexpected in the coming new year. So that's who this is for. So in the room, we're all ready to receive and we can all get into this study throughout the month, at least of January, five weekend month. So we'll be here for at least 5 weeks studying the book of Peter. The context of Peter is that, spoiler alert, it was written by who? Peter. Simon Peter. It was written by Peter. And Peter is often given a bad rap, this guy named Peter, because he was a fisherman called to be a disciple of Jesus. And a lot of people like to say, well, fishermen weren't very educated. They weren't smart. They didn't have degrees and all those types of things. But Peter didn't allow that to hold him back. And Jesus looked past that about Peter and looked to Peter's heart. Peter was a bold person. Peter was a committed person, a passionate person, sometimes a little over-passionate if you read the word and study my man Peter. But Peter is somebody that Jesus saw past his inexperience and actually saw something deeper that lived within his heart. And that's the guy who wrote this. Peter, when he's writing this letter of 1 Peter, he's writing to Christians who are actually hurting. Christians who are going through trials. Christians who are dealing with something, guys, none of us in the room will ever have to deal with. None of us in the room will ever have to deal with what Peter was talking about and the people that Peter were writing to. What do I mean by that? You're saying, Pastor, I don't know. I mean, Peter might have went through some stuff, but you don't know about my problems that I'm going through right now. Well, see, here's what I mean by that. Peter wrote this book in around 60 to 65 AD. Everybody say context. We're going to get into some context real quick so you understand what we're talking about. This book was written in about 60 to 65 AD during the reign of a king named Nero. Everybody say Nero. What was his name? Nero. Nero was a terrible, terrible person. I mean, this king killed his mom, killed multiple wives, and killed anybody that got in his way. He wanted to have power. He did not care about relationships. He cared about himself. In July of around 64 AD, King Nero set fire to Rome. Why did he do this? Because he wanted to rebuild Rome his way. He wanted everything to be torn down, and then King Nero wanted to rebuild statues and everything to represent him and give him glory and point at himself. And he tried to blame Christians for this. But the people in Rome saw through it. They realized, wait, the Christians didn't start these fires. King Nero did. And so what did King Nero do? When King Nero realized they don't believe my story, he began to persecute Christians even more. These Christians, these people went through some hard things. You want to hear some? It's pretty gruesome. And I said, you guys won't go through this stuff. One of the things King Nero did to Christians at this time to persecute them was he took the skin of dead animals and wrapped the Christians' bodies in it. And then he would throw Christians, just because you believed in Jesus, he would throw you into a pen and unleash wild dogs on these Christians and throw parties and watch them get torn apart. That's how much these Christians of this day were being persecuted. Want to hear another story? I'll take that as a yes. Pretty gruesome. But King Nero also dipped Christians, people, guys. We're talking about people like you and I who profess our faith in Christ, who show up for work. You know, we know Jesus. Hey, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. Hey, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I go to Jesus. Tell me about him. You and I, us type of people, he would take you and he would dip you in wax and he would hang you in a tree and he would light you on fire and throw parties around you and let your body light up the night sky. Now that's a terrible king. That's a terrible person. Now think about this. What I just read to you was written to those types of people. All right? So when I say Peter was writing to Christians who were going through some trials, those are some trials. Those are some persecutions. Those are some things that we can never dream of. But he was writing to those types of folks. So again, this message is for people who are going through trials because King Nero was writing to people who were going through hard things. So, let's look at what he said to these types of people. You got the context. Now look back at 1 Peter 1, verse 1. It says, "This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in these lands." So these people receiving this letter had to say to themselves, what? If I'm God's chosen people, why would I be going through this stuff? Anybody else ever thought that? Huh? If I've done what the pastor has said and prayed the prayer and accepted Christ, isn't things supposed to be beautiful for me? Isn't life supposed to be easy? Kids never talk back. Boss never tells us or fires us or whatever. Like nothing's bad supposed to happen to me. I'm not supposed to go through hard things. Yet we do, don't we? We do go through hard things. But it says, Peter wrote, this is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's like, that's my cred. I'm an apostle of Jesus. Y'all know him. You're following him. And he says, I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners. This word used for foreigners is also a word that means exiles or sojourners or aliens or strangers or foreigners. So what does that mean? What does that mean for you and I? What he is saying, believers, what he is saying to those of us who have professed our faith in Christ is that this is not your home. So the world in which you're living in, the trials in which you're going through, the good news is this isn't your home. This is your temporary place. So he's saying, hey, you're getting burned on trees. You're getting thrown in with the wild dogs. But guess what? This isn't your home. You're only going to be here for a short time. And that's how we have to see the trials that we go through and see our life as we walk through life. That this isn't our home. Yeah, tomorrow might stink. But guess what? There's a new day coming. Amen? Things might be tough, but this is not your home. Because you are not from here, Peter's saying, because you are not from here, you don't have to live like those from here. Because you're not from here, as followers of Jesus, we are not called to look like the rest of the world or act like the rest of the world or be like the rest of the world. What we hear in this scripture and what 1 Peter is trying to tell us is that you and I are foreigners in this land, and so we should look different than the world. And can I tell you something? If you look like everyone else that doesn't profess their faith in Christ, you're not walking your faith out right. You should look different. You're a chosen people, set apart, it says, a foreigner, and this is not your home. So you and I should look different than those of this world. What does this mean? This means that you and I will be different. It means we'll have different values. It means we'll have different standards, different goals. It means dads will father different. Mothers, you will be mothers differently than those that don't know Jesus. Amen? children in the room, you will be different children than those who don't know Jesus. Every one of us will look different, act different, and be different if we follow Christ and profess our faith in Him. If we truly know Jesus, Jesus shines through us and we look nothing like the world. We look different. And 1 Peter is going to show us that. Today, as we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, I want us to look how we are different, guys, when we face trials. When things are tough for us, how we are different when we face those tough things. The world wants you to cry. The world wants you to lay down. The world wants you to surrender to the pressure and surrender to everything else going on in your life. But as believers of Jesus, we look at trials differently. We look at trials differently. Let me show you this real quick. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 7, it says this. Now remember, he's talking to people that are getting hung in trees, like true persecution. He says, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Really? Really, Peter? Did you see my brother get hung in the tree? Right? Like that's probably what they're thinking. Come on, Peter. He says, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though, guys, we must endure many trials for a little while. Verse 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is, what's that word it uses? Genuine. Genuine. Now, here's the thought process. If Peter says there's a genuine faith, and trials help you find that your genuine faith, he must also assume, and we must also assume, that there's an false faith. If he's making it clear, hey, there's a genuine faith, then there also must be a false faith, right? If there's a genuine faith, there's a faith in which some of us, even in the room today, may say that we have that's not true, genuine faith. And I believe, guys, I hate to say it, but as a pastor, I often see it and I worry about it for myself and for my children, for my family, for my church family. I worry that we have a lot of people who call ourselves Christians, but we don't have a genuine faith. We don't have a real faith. So what would false faith even look like? What are you talking about, Pastor? What is false faith? I want to talk to you about three different kinds of false faith, all right? And maybe this might land with you, and maybe you need to do something different from this day on. Let me talk to you about some false faith. One is an inherited faith. What's an inherited faith? Well, my dad was a Christian. My mama was a Christian. Grandma Betty was a Christian. Grandpa, great-grandma, they were all Christians. So because they were, I am. Everybody else raised me in church. So I guess I have faith. That's a false faith, guys. If you're sitting here today and you believe you have faith in Christ because mama did, that's not how you have faith. Inherited faith is a false faith. That many people walk around and claim, yeah, I know Jesus, but no, your mama did. Your mama did. You don't get to know Jesus just because mama did. You have to come to know Jesus yourself. It's a relationship, not a religion. They sang a song just a second ago, right? Break up the walls of all my tradition, lay down all my religion, all of that. They said all of that. I can't remember exactly how it went. But they sung about this, that those things in which you inherited and you think that you are, that's a false faith. And we have way too many people walking and talking and living out a false faith because they say, yeah, I have faith. Because grandma did. She prayed for me for a really long time. And so, yeah. Yeah, it's what I do. Yep, I have faith. I was raised in a Christian home. I never missed church. And then often sometimes those people, when they're not in the Christian home, they don't even believe what they were raised under. Because they wanted an inherited faith, not a real faith. See, in this... this is tough for me as a pastor with my son sitting here too. And I've had this conversation even with him that, listen, I want you to come to know Jesus on your own, not because daddy preaches. I can preach all day long, but if he doesn't come to know Christ himself, that's an inherited faith that he will lose, and when trials come, he will run from God. And all of us in the room know people that have dealt with this and may be guilty. That's a false faith, an inherited faith. What's another type? Shallow faith. Shallow faith. Jesus talks about this shallow faith in Matthew chapter 13. He talks about how sower sowed seeds, and some took root, but some didn't, and some got weeded out because their faith wasn't deep enough. They just kept it shallow. They didn't want to go any deeper. They didn't want to read this word more. They didn't want to gather in community with other women and men and get to know Jesus better. They didn't want to respond and pray. They didn't want to surrender and submit to their life. They wanted to stay shallow. And when shallow faith comes against trials, shallow faith loses. And many of you in the room are sitting there going, man, he just hit the nail on the head for me. I thought that going to church once a month would be all right, but that shallow commitment, that shallow understanding, that shallow book reading, that shallow walk with Jesus is making you fail and fall every time a trial pushes back against you. We can't be shallow believers. We have to have a deep-rooted faith. And I want you to know, guys, this is my plea to you at the beginning of 2023. This is my plea. This is my hope for all of us in the room, everybody watching online, anybody that will hear this in the future, that I beg you to, I ask you to, I plead with you to step in before the devil takes you out. Step in deeper. Don't stay in the shallow water. Go deep and surrender and come to know Christ before the devil takes you out. Because don't get it wrong. Scripture says he's out to kill, steal, and destroy you, your family, your marriage, and everything else about you. He hates you. The devil does. If you love Jesus, the devil hates you. And he does not want you to win. He wants you to stay shallow, and he wants you to believe in this inherited faith that came from mommy that ultimately he can take you out when things get tough. What's another false faith? Conditional faith. Y'all know it. I believe in Jesus when things go good, but a good, good God will not let bad things happen to me. So when things go bad, my faith fails me. Amen? When trials come, conditionally, I used to lean on him, but now that things aren't going good for me, that God must not be good, and that God must not love me. We believe in him, and our faith is strong as long as things are going our way. So, these are three types of false faiths. And Peter talked about a genuine faith, right? A genuine faith. So what I want to kind of spin to now is I want to look at the rest of the scripture and talk about how does God use the trials in our life? Like, what's the purpose of these trials? What's Peter trying to show us? How can we grow today as believers? How can we be a little different when things get tough and not act like the world? The first thing trials do is they reveal your faith. They reveal your faith. Trials reveal your faith. 1 Peter, verse 7 says this, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. When things get tough, your faith is revealed. Now look back on last year and think about how you did in that area. When things got tough, your faith was revealed. Did you curse him? Did you turn from him? Did you lose faith in him? Did you lash out in anger? Did you hurt other people? Because trials reveal our faith. So it's kind of good news, bad news. Trials have a purpose, right? Trials have a purpose in our life. So we don't want to have a life without trials, because trials have a purpose in our life. Like, trials test us and they reveal our faith. And I want to share this quote from a pastor, Craig Groeschel, and he says it like this: a faith, put it up there for me, Robbie, a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Think about that. A faith that is tested is a faith that can be trusted. What does that mean? You lose your mama, you lose your daddy, you lose family members, you go through health issues, everything's going wrong in your life, that is testing, that are things that are revealing your true faith. The trials reveal your faith, and a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32 says it like this: Simon, Simon, Satan said, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, this is Jesus, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And we have turned back to strengthen your brothers. Jesus is saying, hey, look, Satan wants to sift you. And he said, I've prayed for you, and I want you to have a strong faith in that your faith would not fail. And when it does, go share it with your brothers. Strengthen them. Help them. Trials reveal your faith. And you can see it in the life of Peter. Peter, remember, the author of this book, in his early years, he was obnoxious, impulsive, cocky, very inconsistent. And in later years, as he came to know Jesus and the trials revealed his faith, and he got tested and he got stronger, the later years he was faithful, devoted, patient, bold. He was the rock. Amen. The same guy that said, Jesus, I will never turn from you. And then the rooster crowed three times, and what happened? He turned. Even when a little girl ran up to him, a little young girl, aren't you a Jesus follower? And he was like, no. Yeah, that's the same Peter that later on, Jesus looked at him in the face. Three times he turned from Jesus, and then Jesus looked at him in the face after he was resurrected. Jesus looked at him in the face and said, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. And in that moment, Jesus redeemed him. From when he turned from him to then he asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And next thing you know, that same Peter that turned from Jesus now was redeemed by Jesus and strong and growing. And that trial revealed his faith and strengthened his faith, and he was better in the end of it. So trials have a purpose. James, Jesus' brother. Everybody in the house know that Jesus had brothers, right? One of them's name was James. Everybody say James. Who was he? He was what? Jesus's? All right, okay. Jesus had brothers. One of them was James. He said it like this in James chapter 1, verse 24. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James, Jesus' brother, says you've got to go through this stuff to become the person Jesus wants you to be. You have to persevere. You have to keep going. You have to recognize that even when things aren't good, God is. Amen? Even when things aren't good, God is. And we don't turn from him. We turn towards him. Trials don't make us leave our faith. They make us lean into our faith. Right? So don't let the world convince you to act any differently when things come against you. The second thing that trials do is trials draw you closer to God. They draw you closer to God if you'll let them. If you'll let them. 1 Peter, still in 1 Peter 1, verse 8 through 9, it says it like this: you love God even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward of trusting him will be salvation of your souls. Let me say that again. The reward of trusting him will be salvation of your souls. Now, Peter, again, is writing to persecuted Christians in Rome under the leadership of Nero, who is killing them. And he's saying, hey, look, let perseverance... he's saying the reward for trusting him now, even through all of this, will be salvation for your souls. Guys, this is called the gospel. Anybody ever heard of the gospel? This is called the good news. This is good news for all of us. And what we have to recognize is that the good news is not that God saves us from our trials. That's not the good news. The good news is not that God saves us from our trials. The good news is that God saves us from our sin. Let me say that again. Yes, we want God to save us from our trials, but it's more important for God to save us from our sin when we come to Him with it. When we profess our faith in Him, when we go to Him day after day. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's that God saves us from our sins. Just to kind of have a quick conversation before we end today. Have any of you guys ever heard, or maybe you believe, or maybe you've said this statement? You've heard, God won't give you more than you can handle. Anybody ever heard that? How many of you guys have Facebooked it, tweeted it, or something, right? You found a little meme that says it, and you've thrown it on your Instagram. God will never give us more than we can handle. Guess what? That's a worldly thought. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true at all. God will give you more than you can handle. God wants to give you enough to make you come to Him for help. God will give you more than you can handle, but God won't give you more than you and Him can handle together. So quit trying to handle it on your own. The world wants to say, you're so big and tough, boys. You got it all together. Yes, you do. You don't need God. You can handle this. God won't give you more than you can handle. You are awesome enough to live life without Him. And the Bible says completely opposite. The Bible says we are nothing without the Lord. The Bible says that we are to be different, and we can't be different without knowing Jesus. And when trials come our way, if we don't know Jesus, we will turn from Jesus and keep turning and keep running. Trials are to draw us closer to Him, not draw us away from Him. Amen? So what trial are you going through? What trial wore you out, knocked you down, and is still eating at you even today? As you think about that, write it down on your little note card. And I want you to say this with me. I want you to know this and say this with me in today, okay? It's going to be on the screen. I want you to know this and say this with me. That faith isn't based on what I see. My faith is based on who God is. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. My faith isn't based on what I see. My faith is based on who God is. You got a world out there right now that wants to convince you of the opposite. That what you see trumps all. But God is saying, all that you see, I can use for the glory of God. I can use for the good. Don't let the trials you're going through now stop you for what I want to make you later. Who I want you to be. Guys, all of us have gone through stuff. All of us are still going through stuff. Addictions, struggles, hurts, obstacles, emotional issues, family issues. Trials push back against us, but we can't put our faith on what we see. We have to put our faith on the unseen. A good God who in His scripture says, I can work all things out for the good, not for everybody, but for those who profess their faith in Christ, for those who follow me. We're to be different, a chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. How's your faith? Did you just become aware that your faith might be false today? Inherited? Conditional? What was the other one? shallow.
Yeah.
If so, let's respond to this message. Let's start the year off with getting ourselves right with the Lord, professing our faith to Him again. Lord, listen, I recognize, man, I have a false faith. I've been thinking I'm good, and I know I'm not today. You can do that sitting there. You can do that at the altars. You want me to come pray with you? I would love to. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for this day. Father, thank you for helping us recognize, Lord Jesus, that we're to have different faith, a different type of faith in our trials. Lord God, that the world would want us to turn from you when things get tough. But instead, today we learned that we need to turn to you, Lord God. Let nothing that comes against us come between us, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that each person that has heard this word, Lord Father, would come to a full profession of faith in Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel, Lord God. Lord, you are good. Let us make room in our life for you today. In your name, amen. Would you stand? This is your time to...
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.